This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
John Fluvog here, who is going to talk about all things shoes at the moment.
All things shoes.
Well, that's one way of starting it off. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much.
I wasn't being too flippant about that. Now,
well, let's talk about Saul.
Okay. Let's start with that one then. Now, John, we like to get a bit of background about you, and that's how we introduce you to our listeners. Now, John, how did you? I suppose tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get to where you are now?
Well, one looks back on their life, and I wonder that myself. But one foot in front of the other, it would be a good start. I started 50 years ago, oddly enough, and I'm still in the boutique business. I call it a boutique business. There are 28 retail stores, and I own them all. I've never had an investor, and so it's been one foot after the other, creeping along, and no doubt you can imagine that I've had some good ups and some good downs, and I've had a couple of bouts of close to bankruptcy, and I've stumbled forward, and I just feel very privileged to still be doing what I'm doing, because it has not gotten any easier, I will say that.
And I suppose, and if anybody sort of, you know, has missed the feet pun, just tell us, what do you do, John?
Ah, yes.
And where are you from? Where's that accent from?
Ah, okay, it's not American. I'm very close to you. I'm a Canadian, okay, Commonwealth. Right. Yep. So I live in Vancouver, which is, again, a city that's quite like Melbourne, I think.
Mm. Oh, okay. Do you feel that?
Yep. I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has a similar kind of feeling and energy. We have mountains and bigger trees, but it has a similar kind of feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
So shoes. Yeah, I've been in shoes all my life. I sort of fell into it. I was just a kid, and I started working in a shoe store. So maybe one should be careful what they start working at when they're young, because I just carried on and kept on doing it.
And designing shoes?
I didn't start designing until I was 21 and I had a partner. And I was working in a retail store. We ended up with having, I guess, maybe five retail stores in the 70s. And as anyone who is from the 70s can tell you, you had to be there.
Yeah.
It was quite a time and quite a scene.
Mm, well, there a lot of leather and a lot of soles.
A lot of soles. A lot of my customers were doing things that were illegal at the time. People doing crazy things. The 70s, people didn't know drugs were bad for you, for instance. And so there's just a lot of crazy things. By the end of the 70s, a lot of my customers were in jail or had gotten shot. It was quite crazy. I had very expensive shoes back then. They were maybe $250 for some men's boots, even more. And they weren't ordinary. Big platform things, extravagant shoes. So needless to say, I had a lot of pimps and hookers and those sort of things behind my shoes.
Therefore, you know, the wonderful thing about it is, you know, 70 shoes, we know the platform soles, and how it's changed over the years. You know, like, it's almost a decade by decade it changes, doesn't it? Therefore, you know, like with designing, you know, like you have to be thinking forward all the time, don't you?
Well, you have to be looking at cultural changes and what's happening in culture and how people are thinking as a culture. And I think any designer, it's not just footwear, anyone who is designing things has to think like that. We have to look ahead a bit and go, well, where is it going to go?
Yep.
People are doing this now, but what are they going to be doing in a year or 5 years from now? Where is the energy coming? And what's the next generation going to be thinking about?
Mm. So how did you go from working in a shoe store to actually designing shoes?
I was forced to, I have to say. I had a partner for the first 10 years, and he left the partnership. He went to New York, and he opened a boutique. I was left on my own, and it was the early 80s. And I got to a point where I was out of money and out of resources, actually. And my back was against the wall. And I happened to take one of my shops that I had, and the company back then had a different name. It was called Fox and Fluvog. Fox being Peter Fox, and Fluvog, of course, being John Fluvog. Mm. That was a great name, Fox and Fluvog. And I just took and decided to change the name of the company to my own personal name. And when I did that, was the different gear that I had even back then, before I was designing it, people started to assume that I was a designer. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, they want me to be a designer. I think maybe I can do that. So without any training or knowledge on how to really do that, I just sort of set out to make unique shoes that were my own thought and my own shoes. And I didn't really even know that I was creative. I didn't know I could draw. I didn't know what creativity actually was. I didn't come from that kind of family. So it's been, I would say that my business has been a real learning experience for me to find out about who I am as a person. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity to find out that, to find out who I was.
Mm. Okay. And also, I suppose now you start designing. You obviously had other people make the shoes for you,
did
you? And how did people become aware of it, or was it just through the retail store? I suppose the question is, how did, you know, people liked your shoes, so did that just take off from your existing stores, or did you were you part of the party scene, or just what actually happened?
Well, I've always been in, I call it the entertainment business. Yeah. So I sell entertainers, and entertainers wear my shoes. And I think it happened over a period of time where I, at the very beginning, when I thought, well, I need to put my name out there. I had my name on my store, called it John Fluvog. Mm. And thankfully I have an unusual name. It's unusual enough, but yet once you get it down and you can say it, it's fine. And you don't mind saying it because you can prove that you know how to pronounce it. So, that was good. And I just, started to put myself personally out there as well. Like, I dress up as characters on, and I do little zines or little catalogs. I'd hand draw the catalogs, and I'd actually hand draw them because I didn't have the money to go to a proper printer and a proper photographer. So it was born out of necessity, as it were.
Mm. Yeah, which is fantastic. But what brings you to Australia on this trip?
Oh, I like Australians. They're lovely. I've opened a shop on DeGreeves, a small shop. But I'm very, it's been going very well. I'm very thankful for it. And it's been like a 20-year dream, I suppose, of me, wanting to do it. I wanted to do it 20 years ago, and it never quite happened. And now I'm doing it, and have it. And I feel, I just feel like it's, I don't know what the word is, I feel fulfilled about doing it. I feel like, okay, I should have done this 20 years ago, and now I'm able to do it, and now I have it here, and I'm very thankful for it. It's been great.
Now tell us, you're doing a few things while you're here. You're involved with RMIT. Yeah. Tell us, what are you doing with them?
Well, basically, you know, I'm encouraging people, and we like to encourage the arts. As a company, we have artist grants. I like to encourage creativity on every level with people. I think that we're all just a lot more creative than we give ourselves credit for. And if you're listening to this, you could tell, maybe you picked up my story. It's that I didn't believe that I was creative. Mm. And so I now am a big fan of trying to bring that creativity out in people. I believe we're all created, and created in a very creative way, and creative. We have a lot of creativity within us that we're afraid, or for whatever reason, it doesn't come out. So that's what I like doing.
Okay, well, good luck if you had me in the room on the creative front, because I'm not. So I can't draw to save myself.
So don't believe that. No, I won't accept that. Sorry.
Well, so, like, you didn't accept it when, you know, because you said you didn't think you were creative.
I did not accept it. I didn't know I was creative. I didn't know I could draw. So so that I can say, I'm looking at you, I'm going, nah, that's wrong.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. And so how can we find more out more about you, do you have, is there a website?
So, yeah, of course. I have a website, Fluvog. Just type in fluvog.com, you'll get there. I put a book out of 50 years of my ups and downs and all around. It's got old pictures and this and that, and tells a story about just my story of how I went from one thing and got to another, and it's got lots of fun shoes in it.
Yeah, and you're right. We are all creatives. Just if you know, like how we can actually develop it. And obviously, Neil and myself, we haven't developed it.
I haven't quite developed it. I'm not sure I've expressed it that well at this stage either.
Excuse me, you are creatively doing what you're doing.
Well, that's true. There you go. Thank you so much for coming in. How much longer are you in Australia?
Another week.
All right.
Another short week. It'll be far too short, I know.
Okay. Well, enjoy.
Thank you very much.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.